Good evening. Good to see everyone back tonight that has come and gathered with us. I mentioned this morning we'll be doing a lesson about prayer, and in particular around the theme, the family that prays together stays together. I appreciate Thomas selecting number 73 as the song to close the service. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. We're so thankful that God has designed and developed prayer where we can be able to approach His throne. We're thankful to God that He has blessed us with two families if we're in Christ Jesus. There in the Garden of Eden, we see that He created the first institution was the home, the family unit. And it's a blessing if one is a part of one. And then we also learn from Scripture that we have a spiritual family as well. 1 Timothy 3:15 calls the church the house of God. Ephesians 2:19 says that we are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. And that's why we call each other brother and sister, because we're in the same home, the same family, together in Christ Jesus. And communication has always been key. Communicate or disintegrate has always been true in whatever realm one may be in our homes, in the church, and most of all with God. And that's why He designed prayer. Prayer in Jesus' name. When we appeal to the authority of Christ, He teaches us that we are to always pray and never lose heart. Because oftentimes, we'll be at that brink where we feel like losing heart. And so the antidote was to always pray, is what He said. Always pray. Now in the home, we understand there's times when it can be heated. It can be fractured and difficult. And in those times are a crucial moment. We can come together and we can pray and reconcile as we ought to. We understand if we've ever been in a home environment that there are those times. And many of us are part of families that have actually fractured and gone on to the point of divorce. And oftentimes, those families didn't pray together. And so they didn't stay together. The same can be true in the church as well. I remember a friend of mine that shared something that took place in one of their men's meetings. He said it broke out. It was a fight. It was difficult. And he said eventually one of the brothers got up and said, "I guess it's my attitude. It's all wrong. You guys just need to pray for me." And he walked out. And he said before that brother got to the door, he said another brother stepped up and said, "Hold on just a minute, brother." And I know who that person was. He told me who it was. And he said, the brother said he'd like for us to pray for him. Men, let's do that. Let's all go around the room and each one of us pray for him. It's a lot larger congregation than this one. And he said, every man prayed for that brother. And my friend says it was transformative. It was the power of prayer to be able to see that. And it softened everybody's attitude and actions and heart towards one another. The family that prays together stays together. And so we're going to look at a little bit of prayer tonight. In Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 10, Jesus said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now from there he goes on to talk about things that apply to us. Our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Deliver us from temptation. So things that applied to us. Before he got to the things that applied to us, he first dealt with the things that applied to God. Jesus set the order correctly. Thy kingdom, thy will, thy name. It's very crucial that we get that. God first, us second. With all of our minds focused in that way, in that direction, that arena, we can't help but land in the same place and in the same position. And so before we begin praying about our two families, I think it's appropriate that we first pray with God in mind first. And I'll lead us in that prayer at this time. Let us pray. Father in heaven, majesty on high, honor and glory be to your matchless name. Of your kingdom there is no equivalent. It has come and it will stay till Christ shall deliver it unto you, for you have decreed that to take place. We pray for this kingdom, the church. It is holy, it belongs to you, and we thank you for kindly allowing us to be a part and portion of that kingdom. Help us, dear Father, to treat it in reverence as your temple, to treasure it as Christ did. We understand, dear Father, that the price that he paid for it was high. It was his life. And we ask, dear Father, that we might give our lives for it too then. And then it becomes easy, dear Father, for us to be able to say that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but your will be done. For you are God, and we are human. Bless us, dear Father, in this time, this sweet hour of prayer. May they come to your throne acceptable, and may they be answered as they are asked in your name, according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin tonight, I ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and look with me at verse 20 and 21. As we pray tonight, let this be in the back of our minds, where the Bible says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." He is able to grant our request. He has that ability. He has the power. He commands heaven and earth. And so let us think about that as we pray for our families in the home and in the church. The first thing that we need to understand to help the family in both realms stay together is that we must be characterized by kindness. Romans 12 and verse 10 says to be kindly affectionate to one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another." I think it goes without saying that a home that does not have kindness is a hostile environment. It's cold like a freezer. But one that has the warmth of kindness is inviting. It is relaxing. Kindness is just the right temperature. Seems so plain, so easy to understand. Just be nice and friendly and warm goes a long way towards the health of the home and of the church home as well. But a family that goes and closes the doors and doesn't want to see each other, doesn't want to talk, that is a dangerous environment for both families. I've asked Brother TJ to come in word of prayer on behalf of kindness to be found in both of our families. Brother TJ.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the many things you've given us. We thank you for our love for one another and the kindness that we've given each other. Thank you for the kindness that we have in our hearts towards our families, here at church or at home. We pray that we always show that kindness such as you did to those who came to God that day. We pray that we always strive to do what's right in your sight and always strive to treat each other the way we want to be treated.
Amen. In order for a home to survive, for children to live, they must grow. They must grow. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Right now, Tanner, all he can have is milk. Julie has made sure I understand that. I've wanted to give him some ice cream every now and then. And no, right now, only milk. The pure milk. The pure milk. There'll be a time when he'll be able to graduate to the ice cream and then eventually the hamburgers and all the rest of the meat. But it's in stages. And we understand that that takes place in our homes and in the church as well. You know, I've heard my kids, the older ones, mention having some aches and some pains. Say, those are growing pains. That's natural. That takes place. And it means that you're growing. And that's a good thing. When we read of the early church, it says that a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 11:21. And that also came with growing pains. We can read that there in Acts the 5th chapter and Acts the 6th chapter, where the early church had some of those difficulties and strivings within, and it had to try and come together to solve those things. You know, think about us at the beginning. I still remember the number on the board. It was 17. And where we've come today. Yes, we've had our growing pains and our difficulties. I think about those first children. There was this picture that was had with Julie and myself. It was at some kind of Halloween gathering at someone's house. And all these children were put on our laps surrounding us. These little babes that are now here and not so little anymore. Someone took this picture here a long time ago. And then I think did an update picture of those children. And some of those children are looking at this here and kind of smiling. We've been so blessed to be together. I think as a preacher, I feel like I've been most blessed of all. Not many preachers get to say that they come into a place where there really isn't any babes or children. And then they're all of a sudden they come and they're able to be a part of their life through childhood up into almost teenage years now. And you feel like that you have this association, this tie, this relationship of trust that could only be built upon years of being together. What a blessing that God has granted us growth from within and also growth from others in the community that have obeyed the gospel. Let's pray that that continues in our homes, that our children will be healthy, and in the church. And I've asked Brother Kevin, if you would, to word that prayer.
Our Almighty Father, Heavenly Lord, we do approach you, Lord, at this time. We ask that you continue to bless our growth in our church and us individually. Father, we know that this world tries to take that away from us, and that the unity that we have here is so easily destroyed with the cares and burdens of this world. May each one of us, Lord, continue to grow in your sight and be according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Another thing that must be found existent in the home and in the church is unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the reason why he says endeavoring is because it's something that just doesn't come naturally. There's going to be, as I mentioned, the growing pains. And so we have to actually make a conscious effort to work for that, to endeavor for it. Jesus said in Mark 3:25 that a house divided against itself, he says that house cannot stand. A family, for it to get anywhere, must be united. And families that end in divorce do all kinds of hurt to the children and damage to their lives, including their own. Unity, we understand, cannot be had at all costs. There are limits. Even in the home as well. Now you can read that there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, you know, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. He said, you know, you are not an obligation to be in a slave bond to them over your service to Christ Jesus. There are limits to the unity, and the same is true in the realm of Christ as well, in His church. And those limits are the doctrine of Christ. We understand a home has many judgment calls. And a husband and wife and brethren need to wisely find unity in those areas and coexist. Back in the early days of American history, the Restoration history was one of the pleas as churches were beginning to learn the truth and give up their denominational error and give up their creeds. There was a plea that went across the land, and that was this: in matters of faith, unity. In matters of opinion, liberty. And in all things, love. I've asked Brother Pax to lead us in prayer that we would have united homes and united church. Brother Pax.
Dear Father, we understand the complexities of our relationships. We understand that there are difficulties going together, understanding one another, being strengthened and challenged. We pray that in all things we seek in our homes and among this congregation to have fellowship and unity with one another in sincerity and love. Be very calculating in the way that we go about lifting each other up to righteous works. Pray that we can draw on experience and draw on faithfulness, that we can pursue righteousness, that we can pursue love, that we can find unity on things that are timeless and that are transcending our own lives, that are what the church is founded on, what the family unit is founded on. I pray that we would understand one another's needs, that we would be willing to conform to each other's needs and each other's desires when it comes to growth and when it comes to the potential for our families and our spiritual welfare. We pray, Lord, that while endeavoring to keep unity, while endeavoring to stay together, that we don't suffer the cause of Christ at all costs. We pray that you would help us not to shirk our duty when it comes to standing for the truth. Help us not to waver in faithfulness to the truth. Help us not to modify the cause of Christ or the call to work, to arms. We pray that we would push forward, that each individual would be committed and zealous for your work. We pray that as we see that commitment in each other, that we would be unified in standing with each other in conveying the gospel and in procuring the salvation of one another. We pray, Lord, for each person here as an individual, whether Christian or not Christian. We pray that each person here can put you first, seek you first, make sure that their life and all that they do is in accordance with your will. And then we pray that each one of us will stand justified holding the hands of the other as we seek to work and to be productive in your kingdom. We pray, Lord, for our families. We pray that each one of us as spouses would strive to perfect our other spouse, that we would be unified in the cause of rearing our children in a spiritual way. We pray, Lord, that each one of us as parents would see the value in our children and in their growth, raising the bar of expectation for them spiritually. We pray that we would each challenge our children and other children to grow and to excel. We pray, Lord, that our children would be the right example for ourselves as parents, that we can balance one another's life towards godliness and perfection. We pray that each one of us would hold each other accountable, that we would pursue perfection in Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us as families as a unit to give back to the church in a whole way, building up and exalting the church so that the congregation can be presentable to you as a whole unit that is a working unit and capable of spreading the gospel, not just by word, but by example, and all the things that we do in our community, in our work, in our schools. We pray that we would be unified in our admonition to the world and help the world to see your works through us. We pray for forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings. In Jesus Christ's prayer.
Amen. Amen. Another thing that must be found in a happy home and in a unified church is love. 1 Corinthians 13:7-8 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. There are times we feel like failing, giving up, quitting, throwing in the towel. But if we have love within us, we'll keep on keeping on. It never fails. And when we have that towards one another in the home, it believes all things, it bears all things, and it works to the good of all. We understand that that must be found in the spiritual home as well. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You know, I know that everybody here has love, unless you've really, really fooled me. I've got multiple illustrations that I could share of each of you, where there's an example of your faith working through love. Galatians chapter 5. But love can grow cold in both homes. And so I've asked Tim to pray that our love would be maintained in both. Brother Tim.
Our most righteous and heavenly Father, we approach that throne at this time. We approach you knowing that you are the all-being God. You know what's best for all the world and all the universe and all the people of it. We're truly grateful that you established the institution of family, both in our daily lives and both in our spiritual family. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, in thy ultimate wisdom, that the center and the bowl and the molding and the adhesive of a family is love. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the opportunity we have to live together as a family, that we share our times with each other, we nurture each other, we support each other, and at times we cry with each other. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will continue to let us have that faith that love does hold us all together, and that we have an understanding that at times love can be harsh when it comes to our children, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they will see that the things that we are doing as parents, that it is truly out of love, and it is the best for them. We also pray and are grateful for our church family, dear Heavenly Father, and we pray that love will abound in the congregation. We pray that each and every one of us can support each other. We can show the love and compassion that we all need. And then at times also, we may have to talk to them in a way that may not be the best, but their hearts need to be touched. And it's all out of love. Lord, we do everything in love. Lord, we know that in the end, it is love that will conquer all. Go with us now. Worldly families, bless each and every one of us, and especially bless the spiritual family. And we will continue in love. For these things we pray in our Son's name. Amen.
Amen. And last for tonight, in order for there to be a strong family unit, we have to understand that there's only been one perfect person that ever lived on this planet. It's Jesus Christ. And so thus, every unit, whether in the home or in the spiritual home, will require the need for forgiveness. The Bible says in Matthew 5:23-24, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And so we see the mechanism in which the Lord has put there. He knew that we would be we are imperfect, and so we're going to need this area and activated in our lives, and to be willing to make the way, so that we are approachable, so that we can calmly talk through difficulties together and come back together and be reconciled. You know, when things get heated at the home, after a break, what do? You come back together again, right? You hug each other. Say, "I'm sorry." That's needed. That's healthy. Almost all sides probably could have done something better, something different. Could have used a more measured aspect of calmness. But we know who they are deep down inside. And we all do things out of character sometimes and say things that we really didn't mean. And since we love our spouse, we love our husband, we love our wife, we're more than willing to forgive them. See, that charity is natural to give in our homes, and it needs to be just as natural in our spiritual home as well. We would never think of holding a grudge on our wife, on our husband, or kids, because forgiveness is a sign of real love. So we make the path easy for those who really, really love. Just as God was willing to forgive us because He really, really loved us. He was so kind to give us a path where we might find forgiveness. And so let us then forgive as Christ has forgiven. Brother Thomas, I've asked him to pray for the forgiveness of Christ to reign in the home and in the church.
Dear Father, as we think about being Christians, thinking about being more forgiven, we know that the world we live in is full of hate and anger. And as we think about how He wants to forgive each of us, how we can use Your Son as that example, and we know He forgave the ones that crucified Him on the cross. And we too should have more of loving hearts and loving minds. And let us try our best to work on these things as we go through each day. And let us think about how we can better ourselves in our homes, how we can better ourselves in church, how we can better ourselves toward the ones of the world. How we can better ourselves as you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If there's anyone here that's needing forgiveness tonight, they can find that in Christ Jesus when they repent and are baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. If there's anyone in Christ, a Christian, that's needing forgiveness, they also can come and ask for prayers from the church. Maybe you need to talk to another member and work things out and forgive each other. Then do that. But don't hold back. Nothing's going to cost more souls, I think, on that last day than pride. The family that prays together stays together. And when we divest that from our heart and humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God, then we can be brought close together once again. I have one more prayer to end our prayer sermon tonight. Would you please be standing as we say this prayer, and then Brother Thomas will lead us in the invitation song. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom, the church, has come, it is here. And we pray, dear Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we ask you to hear our cry. Save our families. Save your church. May they ever both belong to you. And as the world, dear Father, grows darker, it seems by the minute, we will need both of these realms as a retreat from the danger and as a blessing to our souls. Our physical families and our spiritual families, please, dear Father, bless them. Bless these two to your glory as we seek to stay together. And as we stay together here, dear Father, may it be a picture of what is to come, where we will stay together there in your eternal presence as the ages roll by. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
He will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your hearts to Jesus, He will save you.